Hello, everybody. Guess what? It's like 5:15 here in UK, and it's sunny and it's bright and the days are getting longer. Just feels so much more happy and positive, doesn't it? Welcome to today's episode. I'm doing monthly podcasts at the moment, and I hope that fits really well with you, so you can listen to it either on your journey to work or on your walk. Today, I will be mainly talking about our mindset. How much power does your mind have on your health, fitness, and weight loss journey? And what kind of shifts you can make to help you move away from dieting, yo-yo dieting, and lose body fat for good forever and just be fit and healthy forever. So, we know, and the science says, to lower body fat, you need to create energy deficits, also known as calorie deficits. You would do this through your nutrition or movement. And then you need to stay consistent with your approach and then measure regularly how your body is responding and if you need to adapt anything. However, what's usually more important in some cases and for some people, it's more than the calorie deficit. It's actually our mindset. And I totally remember being in this place. So I'm hoping that I'm going to share today, what I'm going to share today with you will help you to check in with yourself and reflect whether you can resonate with anything. And hopefully I'm going to give you some tips as well, how you can move away from some of the mindset barriers that may be holding you back. So back to the calorie and also known as energy deficits. What it means is, so if your goal is to lower body fat, you need to create energy deficits, which means your body needs to expand, burn more energy than it consumes, like in terms of food. So you would if calorie tracking works for you, nutrition and what you eat within the calories is almost like another subject, so I'm not going to talk about it now. But what most people overestimate is the calories burned with your workouts, and don't actually focus on the longevity and the results that last from your workouts. So while calorie deficit is essential for you to lower body fat, what's really important is what you eat within the calorie deficit and how you view the process and how you view this journey. So I think I've counted six different mindset shifts that you can check in with yourself with and then see if any of that resonates. So number one is you need to potentially adjust your expectations from what you are trying to achieve. This is actually a little bit of a tough love, if you don't mind. But I'm going to say it anyway because I do feel like I need to say things. So we need to stop expecting quick results, and then be realistic in terms of what we can achieve in 4, 6, or 8 weeks. I think first, really important to say, like, I am in my 40s, so I'll be 42 this year. And what's really important is that to acknowledge that my or your body is looking very different to what it did in my 20s and in your 30s. And in your 40s. So, if you are in your 50s, then in your 40s as well. There is quite a lot you can do in terms of recomposition with workouts and nutrition. But if your body would have changed and your body just works very differently now than it did in your 20s and in your 30s. And what's really also important to say, and yes, you may not like me for this one. But again, it was a really tough one for me to kind of swallow as well. That it's probably took you longer than 4 to 8 weeks to be where you are right now, and that's why you really need to be patient with the process and potentially adjust your expectations of what your results will look like in 4 weeks, 8 weeks, But what are they going to look like in 6, 8, or 12 months? I think that's a bigger picture. That's a better question to ask yourself, because lots of people just put such a big focus on the short-term results and don't actually look at the bigger picture. So I recommend to my clients to focus on the small daily, weekly, and monthly wins to help them stay positive and to actually help them embrace the journey and celebrate the wins. Ideally, I know everybody's different, but not everybody wants to weigh themselves every day. Not everybody wants to weigh themselves at all. And that's absolutely fine, because the scales will fluctuate throughout the day, week, and a month that we, depending on the time of the month, the cycle, what you ate, your workout. And especially if you find yourself in the trap that when you don't see the number on a scale that you are hoping for, that you're gonna just hit the fuck it. Ooh, I didn't mean to swear there. Sorry. I'm just gonna call it the F it button. If you find that when you get on the scale that you will, hit that button, then don't go in it and don't weigh yourself. You don't have to weigh yourself to lose body fat. There are other methods you can use to help you measure your progress, and you can 100% ditch the scales. And I know this is hard for some people, because a lot of the diets mostly measure the progress by either transformation pictures or weight or the scales. However, this journey, it is so much more about what the number on the scales have got to say. Just going to give you a quick example there. One of my clients was lib upset a couple of weeks ago because she weighed herself at home and she's lost some weight, but not as much as she expected. However, when we looked at all the other data that we collect to measure progress, she has done enormous, huge, giant steps in terms of progress. And just if she only weigh herself, then she would be just so disappointed. And she did say that to herself, she would probably give up. Whereas having somebody on her side that ensures her and actually encourages her to collect other data to help her measure the progress has really empowered her, and she was really, really happy. So trust me, you will be happier without the scales. I haven't weighed myself for years now, but I know that I am happy and I'm not letting the scales dictate my progress. So hey ho. Make sure you are really as realistic with where you are now and how you can get where you want to be. But more importantly, how long will it take you to get there? Sometimes we are potentially talking like years and years of habits and behaviors that need working on to help you move away from this spot. So be really realistic. And if you need to get somebody to help you with knowledge or education or insurance, then that's absolutely fine. And I know what you're now thinking, like, oh, Petra, but I want to lose weight quicker. Trust me when I say the longer it lasts, the more likely you will be able to keep it off and sustain it. Because you will have time to work on yourself inside, and you will have time to reflect on everything, to help you actually work on the mindset and on those habits. Yes, you can lose weight quickly, like everybody has proven that. But the question is, can you keep it off if it's lost quickly? Usually, to lose weight quickly, you need to make some really drastic changes. You need to restrict really hard. You need to do lots of steps per day. Is that sustainable? Is that making you happy? Can you see yourself living yourself like this for, I don't know, 6 to 9 months? And if the answer is no, then the approach doesn't quite fit. So I'm just gonna have a quick drink. I hope that's okay. I don't usually cut this podcast. But I've got really, really dry mouth. So here we go. Number two, enjoy the process instead of focusing on the outcome. And this is really important. If you focus only on the outcome, for example, like the number on the scale, you will miss all the positive wins, like what we talked about just before. All the wins that are happening as part of the process, as part of the journey of you getting stronger, feeling better, being better version of yourself, being fitter, having a better relationship with food and with yourself, mainly not feeling guilty after you ate a pizza or foods that have been by somebody labeled as not good for you, or you can't eat this if you are on diet, because you need to make sure that you can include all those foods to still have life. And you need to mainly enjoy what you do. You need to enjoy your workouts, you need to enjoy your food. And most clients tell me they don't really feel like they are dieting because they enjoy their nutrition. They are totally getting stronger and smashing their workouts, which makes them more confident. And this then actually overspills into all the other areas of life, work, relationship, self-development. So it's really, really so empowering to see this. However, if you only focus on the number on a scale, you're going to miss all this and you're going to feel very deflated. So if you enjoy the process and focus on your day-to-day actions, what actually happens is the process of fat loss becomes a byproduct of what you do. And this is when the journey just becomes so much more enjoyable. Another important thing to mention here is that if you don't like what you do, so if you don't like your diet and if you don't like your workouts that your PT has, or your, whoever you're working with or on your own, and you find you really dislike it, and you've told them 100 times you don't like burpees and the burpees are still in there, you're gonna find it really, really difficult to carry on with. A very good example here is if somebody is dieting in your, I don't know, in your circle, and you're gonna say, "Oh, I'm gonna try the diet as well." We can be specific here. I can use keto. So keto is a low carb diet. And you go, right, it works for my friend, so I'm gonna try it. But you find yourself after a few days that actually going on such a low carb diet is making you miserable and you're not enjoying it. And let's be honest, like we need carbs, we need carbohydrates, and carbohydrates are in fruits, in vegetables. Yes, there are many different types of carbohydrates and many are processed as well. Again, that's for a different podcast. But if you restrict something that used to be in your diet and you find it really difficult to kind of function, then the diet is not for you and you're not going to enjoy it. So what's going to happen? You will quit, and you will quit not because like you failed or anything like that. You will quit because the approach isn't right for you, and you need to make sure that your diet and your workouts are really tailored to you. If you, again, if you don't like your workout and you are doing lots of cardio and like you're sweating loads in your sessions, but you don't enjoying them, you're not going to be able to sustain them. You need to enjoy the process to help you with your goal 100%. Number three, oh, the very, very famous all or nothing mindset. And you, I do know quite a lot about it. I used to think that if I had a chocolate bar or I skipped my workouts, I ruined my progress and I would really feel guilty for my actions. And that was it. I was done. I was done, and I was done not until Monday, but potentially until next month, because I really felt like disappointment. I felt like a failure. However, you need to remember that something is better than nothing. And I wish I knew this before, that consistency is more important than perfection. So if you don't have time to do 40-minute workout, make it shorter. 5 and 10 minutes workouts are better than nothing. Walking for 10 minutes is better than no movement. And the same kind of applies here for the nutrition. You know, if you haven't got time to prepare a full meal with protein, the healthy fats, and fruit and vegetables, then have a piece of fruit. If we go back to the 80-20 balance that I preach, so it's 80% we eat whole foods and foods that align with our goal, and we allow 20% balance there to enjoy life and have a little bit of something that we like. This sometimes may look like 60-40, you know, or even reverse, like 40-60. But if you stop will or nothing, it will never be 100, like 0 and 100. It will never be that you 100% ate foods that don't align with your goal, because something is better than nothing, and piece of apple is better than nothing. So just try to remember that when next time you feel like, oh, you know, like, F this, I'm not gonna do this because I ate, like, I didn't feel good after eating that, so I'm not gonna do the workout. What's the point? To turn that around, it all counts. All the small changes count. It all really matters. In the long run, it really, really matters. Every single change counts. So swap the perfection for consistency. Give yourself a tick. It doesn't have to be perfect tick, but it is a tick for achieving the task or the goal that you set yourself up with. This is a really good one, number four. And I called it errors or mistakes, but I'm not really sure how I feel about this. So, kind of mistakes or errors that you make along the way are all part of the process. But I prefer to call them more like opportunities for you to learn from and grow. Every time you will feel demotivated because you feel like your life took over, or you were really busy with family and friends, and you didn't have a chance to sit down, let alone to plan your day and plan your nutrition. Remember that this is okay, and days like this will be there. That's life. Life is not going to be waiting for, you know, life's not going to be perfect all the way around. But what you need to learn is to adapt. So, for example, like the days when you go over your nutrition goal, this doesn't mean that you now write off the whole week. This means that for some reason you wanted or needed certain type of food, and you had it. And now you just say, I had it. The important part here is own up to it, because there's nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying chocolate. I mean, life would be very boring. However, if it currently doesn't align with what you've had, what you are trying to achieve, or you just wanted a little piece of chocolate, but you ended up having a whole bar, start asking yourself some questions. So this is not a point where you go, oh, whatever, like, let's just write this week off. But this is actually opportunity for you to go, right, hang on a second. Why did this happen? What has actually happened? Was I stressed? You know, so try to investigate, why did it happen? Were you eating on autopilot? Because that happens usually, the mindless eating. Were you tired? We do tend to overeat when we're tired. Or potentially, did you restrict the foods from your diet completely, and now your body or your mind is like, kind of go chocolate, chocolate, chocolate? You know, ask yourself this question and keep asking yourself these questions until you know exactly what happened. Because that's exactly when you reach a point when you then can plan for that similar situation if it happens again. So when that kind of behavior appears again, you'll be able to potentially, you know, have a plan. You'll have a plan to help you overcome it. I can give you a little example here. I spoke to my client in the weekly check-ins, and She said that she felt bad because she, in the evening, she had some crackers and some cheese, and even though she didn't feel hungry, or she has eaten enough during the day to help you, to hit the nutrition goal, but she still ended up eating the crackers and the cheese. And I remember first I asked her, I'm like, "Did you enjoy it?" And she said yes. And I'm like, well, then, we are humans and, these things will happen. We can't expect to be perfect at all times. And it's really important. And I actually was pleased when she said, yes, I enjoyed it, because you need to eat foods that you enjoy. And I like the saying here that you can eat anything, but not everything. So, if you restrict too much, the whole process just becomes a prison that is not sustainable, and you're just going to be miserable and stressed about it. But she was worried about it because she said that it has happened probably second or the third time in the last 10 days. And her concern was that she was creating a habit of evening snacking. And this was a really good reflection from her side, because she was absolutely right. If we practice anything, whether it's a behavior we don't want in our life or it's a new behavior and habit we want to introduce, we are practicing a habit, and it will essentially become the routine. So she clearly doesn't want the evening snacking to be a habit anymore. We came up with a plan to overcome it, but actually, it was a really good point for her to reflect on, to come up with a plan. The main thing in this situation is just recognize it's happening. So whether it has happened on autopilots, what was the situation, tiredness, stress, emotions. So really look at the bigger picture rather than just, oh, I overate. I'm just going to start again on Monday. It's always an opportunity for you to look at, say, okay, I'm only a human and it's okay. Things happen. Practicing self-compassion has been really, really hard for me on this journey. But as soon as you start being kinder to yourself and start understanding your actions, sometimes our actions go back years and years into our childhood. It's a very empowering journey. It becomes a very different journey rather than just weight loss journey. Number five. Oh, my mouth is so dry, so I'm gonna have a drink again. I hope this is okay. Right. So, I hope I'm going to pronounce this correctly. Longevity, I think so. I started losing weight to look good in my jeans, in my bikini. But that has changed to be fit, strong, and healthy. So instead of having body that looks good in bikini, I want body that is fit, health, and strongy. Strong, fit, health, and strongy. Fit, strong, and healthy. Right, there you go. The authentic me that's drinking throughout the podcast and just can't even talk anymore. Perimenopause at its best. So now I actually look at the food as a nourishment. I really don't like how that word sounds, but it's really a good word to describe your food. So if I now eat processed foods, my digestion is shocking. My skin goes, yeah, it's not great. I've got to have breakouts. I feel sluggish. And then the vicious circle starts, doesn't it? So you feel low, you feel demotivated. So you eat crap and then it kind of carries on. But that saying that you are what you eat, it's so spot on, because the food is your energy. So food is the fuel, and you wouldn't put petrol in a diesel car. It wouldn't get you anywhere. So you need to stop doing that with your body and look at your nutrition. This is where I was talking about why calories and what you eat within the calories is more important, because you can be eating 14 or 1500 calories of processed food and you'll be hungry and you will not feel good. But you can have 1500, the same amount of calories from whole foods, fruits and vegetables, and protein, and you will feel full, like you don't want to eat. My clients always tell me they're not hungry because they're just filling their plates with the volume. And that's exactly what you want. You want to nourish your body with all the guts, all the kind of the goodness that's in the food, the vitamins, the minerals, the protein, the healthy fats, because that's what's giving you the energy. The most common one is like the afternoon, the 2 o'clock, like dip. And usually, if I speak to somebody who has had is having that dip in the afternoon, like in terms of energy, like they would have very, very little food for breakfast, then few coffees, and then again very, very little food for lunch. And then obviously at this point, your body has been up for how long? So it needs energy. And if you have been active, if you did your school run, you're now at work, you are really active, you will be hungry. And if there is no petrol in the car, it will not drive you anywhere. And your body is exactly the same. When we look at the longevity, we need to really change the mindset around the workouts as well. So workouts are not there to count the calories. One, the calories that your watch is showing you are potentially inaccurate. And also, if you're measuring the intensity of your workout by how you sweat or how much out of breath you are, you want to change how you look at the workouts here. Moving your body, strength training, cardio training is so much more than how much sweat do you sweat and how many calories you've burned. So if we just look at the benefits of how workouts and regular exercise helps you to lower risk of cardiovascular diseases, type 2 diabetes, and some types of cancer as well. To be honest, that is a list that motivates me when I'm not motivated. Because lifting heavy and showing up for yourself makes you feel like a superwoman, full of energy and full of confidence. And like I mentioned before, if you feel good, your cup is full. It will overspill into other areas of your life. People around you will start noticing. And it's contagious. It's you will like the feeling, how you will like how you feel after the workouts. You will like how it kind of boosts you up, how it kickstarts your day. So you'll want to carry on. I want to just here quickly talk about my experience from January this year. So, if you have listened to my previous podcast or you have been reading my blog, I was diagnosed with skin cancer last year, which was removed. So I had my last surgery 8 months ago, and I need to be doing like a lots of regular checks on my skin, and I go in regularly. So I was doing my regular checks, and I was checking my breast as well. And I found a lump in my left breast. I'm really like literally goosebumps all over me now, just talking about it. It does bring up quite a lot of emotions. You can just imagine what has gone on in my mind. Clearly it went straight to the worst case scenario, but I'm not going to talk about that because that's a different podcast episodes. I called the GP straight away and they were really great. I saw the breast unit clinic. I went there literally within 2 weeks, and the team have been amazing. It's been really hard to sit in the waiting room with all the other women. Paul was with me, so that was very comforting. And as I was sitting in the waiting room, waiting for my test and for my results, I picked up some leaflets because I'm like, oh my God, I wanna really educate myself and inform myself here. And I am so glad I did. So remember how I told you like the benefits of the workouts, does help lower risk of some types of cancer. So there are three main things that I wanted to tell you that jumped at me from the leaflets. So the leaflets was very small. There were three different leaflets on a desk. One was, I think, was the history of breast cancer. The other one was what to look out for and how to assess yourself and what changes to look out for. And the smallest, the tiniest, smallest leaflet was about three things that help you lower this type of cancer. And I'm like, right, why is this leaflet so small? Like, if there is so much we can do, like, why is this leaflet so small? So the three things are a healthy diet and healthy weight to so keep your body fat within a healthy range. I am literally reading this from the leaflet. Making sure you look after the muscle tissue and eating well-balanced meal to nourish your body. Number two was regular exercise and staying active. So really something that you enjoy, you can stay consistent with. You know, if you include strength training for bone health as well, some cardio for cardio health, but something that you can enjoy and you can really see yourself doing. And then alcohol consumption. So that was number three on the leaflets. So I don't drink. I have maybe one drink with my mum when I see her, but I don't drink. But if you consume alcohol, you know, have a look at the NHS guides website to find out more, because these were the three things. So like I said, these leaflets was the tiniest little leaflet on the table out of all them all, but we can do so much. There is so much we can control. Obviously, in terms of illnesses and health, you know, it is hard and it is challenging. But if we can focus on our nutrition, if we can focus on our exercise and staying active, if we can focus on what goes into our body and keeping our body healthy at a healthy weight, then this will help you stay with your health, you know, with your health and fitness. And I was obviously with my PT head, I was still a bit like, I was like, why is this leaflet so small? And why are not more people talking about this? So here I am talking to you about it because the journey, it just gives you very different perspective once you start focusing on your health, because then the weight loss becomes a byproduct of your actions and of the overall health and fitness value. And I get it, you know, choosing the habits and actions that give you long-term benefits is harder. You need to push outside the comfort zone. You need to push yourself on the days when you can't be bothered. I know it's harder. You know, I'm perimenopausal now. You know, I've got more days where I just really can't be bothered. And, you know, the short-term comforts, habits, the scrolling, snacking do try to creep in. But none of these actually give me any of the benefits in the long run. So it's really important just to pause and say, well, hang on a minute. Did I do everything I wanted to keep my body where I want it to be? And I think you really need to dive deep. You really need to ask yourself questions. Why is it important to you? What do you want to achieve and not just fit into smaller jeans? Yes, that will come and you'll feel better in your clothes. But once you really dive inside to help you understand your why and you'll start seeing changes on the outside, you will also start changes on the inside. And that those changes on the inside will shine through on the outside. I'm smiling talking about this because I can see like my clients and these changes happening in, like within my clients, and it's amazing, it's inspiring, it's empowering. I've worked with women who have been dieting for so many years, or who have been menopausal, postmenopausal, and have really found it hard to move away from the dieting culture. And throughout the process of us working together, there is always time and space for them to look inside and do the work on the inside. And then it just shines through, and the smiles on their faces, the positivity they start, shining out. And it's really inspiring. So I'm smiling, finishing this episode. It was a lovely episode, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed talking about it. If you have enjoyed it, please do rate it and share it with anyone who may want to hear this too, because the more love this podcast gets, the more people will be able to listen to it. And as always, if any of this resonated, or if you want to chat about any of it, or just want to drop me a message, please do get in touch. I'll be more than happy to have a chat. Have a lovely evening, and I hope you will tune in for the next episode too. Bye.